Scripture lesson from which the message will spring forth this evening comes from the Gospel according to John. I'll be beginning at the first chapter, reading in the first verse on down through the 18th. So stay with me, a little longer scripture selection than perhaps normally I select. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will or of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, a full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." Here is the reading. May God grant us wisdom and courage for interpretation. We continue now in this series of Advent sermons, a series I've entitled Calm and Bright, celebrating 200 years of the ageless carol, Silent Night. And we are guided also, in addition to the scripture reading, by the words from verse 3 tonight. Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, love's pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. The presence of God as experienced in human form, the song says, is like the dawn of redeeming grace. That's what it said anyway in verse 3 of Silent Night. And we are all made in the image of God, and we are all called to nurture relationships that birth and multiply and radiate a certain sense of grace in and to the world. The Advent season calls us to ask a very important question, and I beg of you to spend the next few moments anyway attempting to share this vision with me, if nothing else, for an exercise of our hopeful imaginations. And that is this question: what would the world look like if love's pure light was at the center of virtually everything? What would the world look like if love's pure light was at the center of virtually everything? Would it look the same? Would it look different? If it looks different, what would it look like? The Reverend William McCord Thigpen used to serve as Episcopal rector or priest to a Los Angeles, California congregation. Reverend Thigpen tells the story of how one Christmas morning he made his way through the streets of Los Angeles to the inner city parish where he was serving for the Christmas Day service, as was their custom. He said that after the usual late evening before on Christmas Eve with the large, well-attended services with the kids and the drink and the food and then the top it all off with the midnight worship service, he found that he was tired all the way down to his bones. And yet, strangely enough, he said he was really looking forward to this more laid-back, smaller, low-key Christmas morning service that was a part of their custom. And for him, as a clergy person, he explained it was kind of like the pressure was off. You know, just the small band of people he expected would be there. And as usual, the streets on Christmas morning were nearly deserted, as he described this account of the story. Most of the families were at home or still asleep or maybe sitting around in their pajamas opening presents. And his normal drive to church took him underneath a freeway overpass. And he said that as he approached the freeway, an odd sight caught his attention out of the corner of his eye. And it made him look twice back in that direction. Reverend Thigpen said he saw what appeared to be a pink aluminum Christmas tree, about 3 feet high, set up on a small triangular littered patch of grass between the bridge and the on-ramp to the freeway. And there, amid the blown trash and the dirt and the grime of the inner city overpass, was this strange, glittering, out of place piece of pure joy. It made him both smile, he said, but it also tore at his heart, for he knew to whom this 3-foot pink aluminum Christmas tree most likely belonged. For you see, back up under the bridge where the steel girders and the slope of the concrete meet, a number of people had made this space their only home in this world. This space provided shelter against the wind and the rains. And Reverend Thigpen's church building was only 2 blocks away, and during the day, a number of these people would make their way to the church office for a bagged lunch. And so Reverend Thigpen had gotten to know many of them over a period of time, and so from a variety of backgrounds and for a variety of reasons he could share, each of these different people had found themselves homeless, and for one reason or another had begun living on the streets. So with little doubt, Reverend Thigpen knew that the pink aluminum 3-foot-tall Christmas tree had been likely rescued from the side of the road someplace and placed right there in this spot for a bit of their own celebration of Christmas, right there in the middle of the grime and the dirt and the hustle and the chaos of the Los Angeles city streets. The story about that tree kind of reminds me of these words from John's Gospel a moment ago. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not overcome it. And these words seem to tie so well to the third verse of Silent Night, which also serve as host for our thoughts this week. Love's pure light, the dawn of redeeming grace, certainly was symbolized by that tree's presence right there and the people to whom it belonged. It had been a hard world for many of them, but they had not let the world steal that little piece of Christmas joy. And so it appeared when Jesus was born, this truth was echoed way back then, my friends, and I believe is still just as true today, that God never ignores the darkness, but rather chooses to shine even in the very middle of the darkest places on earth, and does so through the lives of willing representatives, mostly, like you, like me. Since Thanksgiving, who are we kidding? Since Halloween, the shopping malls, the advertisements, and all the other businesses have been telling us it's the most wonderful time. Yeah, you know that song. But the truth is, for many of us, it's a mixed bag, if we're completely honest. Christmas is not what it was for me when I was a child. I look at it differently now. Perhaps you do too. The truth is, it will never quite be the same as it was for me when I was a little child. Now that I'm an adult, it's different. It just is. This is also a challenging time for many people, for grown-ups, some kids as well, for many different reasons. For those of us who have lost jobs, or those who have seen their investments take a tumble as the stock market has seen plunges in its values, especially of late, then there are those who are unsure of what will happen in their stage of life or with their family or some other part of their world in the next year as we loom on the end of 1 year and the beginning of the next. It can be a nervous time, in addition to being a wonderful time. Many spouses, many children are serving in some capacity, either in a job or perhaps in the armed forces, if they're apart from their families for seasons like this. And then there might be those who are living with illness or with grief because Christmas brings to mind that empty seat there along the side of that big Christmas dinner table, and they're dealing with the grief of having lost a loved one, and no matter how many Christmases go by, they can't imagine how they're going to make it through another Christmas without that special someone. Sorrow can be intensified by memories of Christmases gone by, with high, perhaps even unrealistic expectations of what Christmas is exactly supposed to be. There might be those who would just, frankly, if we were completely honest, be just as happy to get Christmas over and done with. But during Advent, and as we're seeking to find ourselves centered, even amidst all of the turmoil that pulls us in so many directions this time of year, I want us to be reminded. I want us to be called back to where our center is to be located, where our hearts belong, and to celebrate the mystery that is God moving into the neighborhood, so to speak. And to joyously receive the coming of God into the neighborhood. The Word made flesh, as our faith tradition teaches us. The Word that gives life and breath and hope that is real. Christmas can certainly be about the larger-than-life, transcendent God. But more often, I think the beautiful thing about Christmas is that God came near, up close, personal. Sometimes we do talk about the transcendent God, mysterious and unknowable beyond comprehension, which is all fine. But here in this celebration, really the heart of Christmas is that God the Creator does not stay far away and distant, but rather gets up close and personal, that the divine is experienced in the flesh, becomes one of us, lives among us. And so in the middle of our darkness, in the middle of the chaos of our lives, along comes the baby Jesus and grows up announcing life and love instead of death and destruction. Now later in John's Gospel, we would hear Jesus say, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Jesus' way is the way of the Creator. You could say it's well aligned, the way of life. And so when Jesus came along, he was, as the song said, love's pure light. And with him, as Silent Night says, he brought the dawn of redeeming grace for Christians. He is that word spoken in the middle of our chaos and darkness that creates life where all may seem impossible. And in and through the way of Jesus and following the way of Jesus, we are reminded and shown that indeed it is possible. Despite a world so filled with chaos and turmoil and darkness at times, to be full of hope, to be full of light, even to be full of joy, full of love, which is what we're talking about tonight. And that even as Jesus came into the world shining God's light of love into the darkness, we are also called to allow this light to shine forth in our lives and to the world in the form of love. And this love which can never be taken away from us, and this light which can never be extinguished in any one of us, is the same love and the same light that belonged to Jesus, and it belongs to us all. So on this third Sunday of Advent, I want to remind us that we are called to allow love's pure light to shine forth in our lives each and every day. In his book, Original Blessing, theologian Matthew Fox writes, "We enter a broken, torn, and sinful world, that is for sure, but we do not enter as blotches on existence, but rather we burst onto the scene as God's original blessings." Oh, how we need to be reminded of that. God putting on flesh, God in each of us, just as God was in Jesus, has shown us a different way of seeing life and living in the world, reminding us that creation is good, that the world we live in, even though many times it seems so dark, is in essence good, that our bodies are good, no matter who we are or who we love. We are God's original blessings. And as original blessings, we are called to live with love and with justice, with all that is part of this created order. And we are called not to be something we're not, but rather to be the best version of ourselves, to be fully human, to be fully alive, not just to exist, but fully alive human beings. Matthew Fox goes on to say, being alive is not the same as going shopping or making a nest in which to escape the suffering of others. Living has something to do with the love of life and the love of others' lives and the others' rights to life and dignity. In the words from the baptism ritual in our church, the United Church of Christ, when someone seeks to be baptized into the Christian faith, they are asked these words, do you promise, by the grace of God, to commit yourself to a lifetime of discipleship, to follow in the way of Jesus, to resist oppression and evil, and to show love and justice as you witness to the work and word of Jesus as best as you are able? That is how we charge people coming into the faith in our tradition. And this is part of what it means for us to be alive in God, to be God made flesh, to follow the example and the way of Jesus. The real struggle with this Christmas thing is not if there are going to be Christmas trees in the airports or nativity scenes in front of city halls or what kind of cups Starbucks is going to be selling or giving out this year or even if we spent more than we should have on presents. The real struggle of the soul this Christmas is allowing Jesus, the Word made flesh, to be genuinely enfleshed in us, enfleshed in our hearts, in our minds, in our hands, enfleshed in our relationships. This means how we treat, obviously, our families, those closest to us, our spouse, our children, those others. But also, it means that we care for and we also show, even in our attitudes, care and love for the immigrant, the stranger. How we treat or think about people who express their sexuality or genders differently than we do. For what are we doing for the jobless? That matters. If we're going to have the way of Jesus enfleshed in our own lives and in our own actions, we will care for the homeless. We will care for those who are in need. The least, the last, the lost, the forgotten. How is Jesus enfleshed in our struggle for justice and for peace, not only for ourselves, but for all people? God, the Creator who created the universe and saw that it was good, did not cease creating at Genesis chapter 3 of the Bible. Did you know that? But rather, God, the Creator, continues to create and remains active, always seeking the best for all people, paying absolutely zero attention to where human beings draw borders between our nations, our invisible borders to separate ourselves from each other based on how much we have or don't have, based on the color of skin or our religious creed, who we love. All the while, the Creator has always been creating and is still desiring that we would be truly alive at any given point in history. And today, we continue to celebrate that creative living Word taking on human form and substance, becoming fully alive, not only in Jesus, but in those of us who follow the way of Jesus today. So in this season of gift giving, with all that pulls and tugs on our hearts, may we remember the good gifts that the Creator has given us, the sun and the moon, this good earth with all of its blessings of sky and water, plants and animals, this incredible gift of life, of flesh and blood, of breath and memory, this day, this moment, and all those people who live in our lives, both in times of joy and in times of sorrow. May we remember all that it means for us to be fully alive, fully human, and above all, may we remember the gift of the Word made flesh sent to show us a more excellent way. And for those who follow the way of love, to save us, to heal us, to bring us love up close in person, that we would be healers of the world in turn. Really, to remind us of who we truly are, at the very center of our existence. So no matter where you find yourself in this hustle and bustle of the season, and no matter where you find yourself in this journey we call life today, please be reminded of this truth, that when all of the layers complicating our existence are peeled away, that at the core of each one of our lives, we are human beings, just like Jesus. And each one of us is illuminated from the inside out by love's pure light. Oh, sure, we're pretty good at messing it up. We're pretty good at hiding it sometimes. We may even forget it's there. Our exteriors may get hardened by the bumps and bruises of life with the difficulties and demands placed on us that we experience. Maybe the ways we think of the world sometimes just get swept up into the howling winds of self-absorption, self-preservation. And sure, sometimes we don't act too loving. We act more fearful than anything else. So that we're not exactly living like we're illuminated from the inside out by love's pure light at times. But friends, when we get it right, when we allow love's pure light to be the very center of how we live and how we think and how we view our neighbors and treat our neighbors and how we view the world and treat the other people in the world, we usher together in a new day. It's like a dawn of redeeming grace for all of creation. So this Christmas, this third week of Advent, may we be open to seeing the world. May we be open to seeing our co-workers, even our enemies, our families, and perhaps even open to seeing ourselves, not as we are, but as we could be. When love's pure light is illuminating us all, I'm holding on to this vision. I hope you'll join me. I thank God for this vision that was seen in Jesus and is now seen in each of us. Amen.